I want you to recollect the 2019 Pulwama attack that happened on 14th February. While the direct retaliation for Pulwama attack was carried out 12 days after, that is on 26th February 2019, by the Indian Air Force, bombing terrorist training camps in Balakot, Pakistan. A similar massive explosion has now targeted a Pakistani military convoy. This incident occurred on Saturday, 4th of January 2025, at a place called Turbat in South Balochistan. Turbat city has a major military cantonment of Pakistan. A convoy passing through this area was attacked with a massive explosion involving 900 kilograms of RDX, which targeted a bus carrying 48 Pakistani soldiers. All 48 soldiers didn't make it, and many others were injured. Initially, the Pakistani media claimed that only 4 soldiers didn't make it, and around 32 were injured. However, sources from the Baloch Liberation Army, BLA, suggest that 47 soldiers didn't make it, and 30 others were badly injured. The BLA has claimed responsibility for this attack, and they have also said the Balochistan highways will be made unsafe for the Pakistani establishment. If anyone intrudes into their land, this is what they can do. Let's recall 2019 Pulwama attack that happened on Jammu-Srinagar highway, where 40 CRPF soldiers were martyred. In this Saturday attack, Pakistan's Frontier Corps, which is part of the Pakistani army, was the target. Can we say that karma completes a full circle and comes back? In Balochistan, there are several Pakistani military and paramilitary bases and cantonments. Let me point out a few. Quetta Cantonment has the largest Pakistani military base in Balochistan. Then there is a place called Khuzdar in central Balochistan. Then Gwadar Port City has military and naval installations, especially to safeguard China-Pakistan economic corridor. Then Turbat. Then there is a place called Chaman. As you can see, it is near to Iran border and there is a problem of regional insurgency. So it is natural to have a security base. And then there are small towns like Sibi, Dalbandin, Panjgur and Pasni. You see, Pakistani military has several bases and cantonments across Balochistan. And there are two reasons behind it. Number one, to safeguard key routes of the China-Pakistan economic corridor, because that is how they get good money from China. And the second reason is to oversee operations in Balochistan. The Baloch people have a history of uprisings and resistance against the Pakistani state. They have always demanded a separate state, or you can say independence. And they have also demanded for a greater control over the region's natural resources. To counter these movements and uprisings, and to suppress the Balochi people, the Pakistani military has established a significant presence in the region. But then we also have to acknowledge that the Pakistani establishment faces the most trouble in Balochistan from three groups. And they are, number one, Baloch Liberation Army, BLA. Then Baloch Republican Army, BRA. And Baloch Liberation Front, BLF. These three groups have robbed the Pakistani military of its sleep. Some of their tactics include guerrilla warfare, ambushes on convoys and patrols, IEDs, roadside bombs targeting military vehicles. In remote areas where military presence is limited, they snipe and then hit and run. Then targeting infrastructure like gas pipelines, railways and CPEC projects. If you look at the map that I showed you of Pakistani military and paramilitary bases and cantonments in Balochistan, apart from cities like Quetta, Gwadar and Turbat, the Pakistani military no longer holds any substantial control in other places. Now even in Turbat, the army cannot operate freely. You will soon notice that a rebellion-like situation will start within the Pakistani military, especially among the lower ranks. There will be disagreements and internal dissent. Now combine this with external pressures from Baloch rebel groups and Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan fighters. In rural and remote areas of Balochistan and Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province, where the Balochi rebel forces and Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan fighters are active, they will force the lower rank Pakistani soldiers to give up their idea and join them. Then morale issues, frustration with political interference, and operational fatigue will lead to growing discontent among lower ranking soldiers. Already TTP is applying tremendous amount of external pressure. They are targeting Pakistani security personnel and also attacking all the businesses that the Pakistani military runs. Now it is being said that this Turbat attack was jointly carried out by Baloch and Pashtun rebel forces. If you look at the BLA, it is primarily composed of Baloch ethnic fighters. Their core members are drawn from the Baloch tribes in both Pakistan and Iran. While the group's focus is on Baloch nationalist causes, in regions near the Afghan border, this region of Quetta, Chaman and Qila Abdullah, Pashtun and Baloch populations have historically coexisted and interacted. So there are Pashtun sympathizers who may join the movement out of solidarity, particularly if they share anti-Pakistan sentiments or have family ties to the Baloch community. Right now, these two communities have turned out to be a nightmare for the Pakistani establishment. The number of Pakistani soldiers killed in such incidents over the past year, that is in 2019, is around 1,300. 2024 has been the deadliest for the Pakistani security forces in last 9 years. Again, can we say that karma has completed a full circle and came back? Yes, indeed. Now, let me quickly explain to you Pakistan's ongoing crisis. In my previous video, I have explained about Pakistan and Afghanistan border issue. Then in this video, I have explained to you what Baloch people want and what they are doing about it. Now, there is something more you have to understand. The Taliban has also reiterated that the Durand Line agreement between Afghanistan and British India is valid for only 100 years. Taliban is slowly pushing this narrative. And if they need help, India can extend a warm, generous hand. Now, coming to India, India is also moving towards unilaterally revoking the Indus Water Treaty. Why? Because there have been fundamental changes in circumstances as per the Article 62 of the 1969 Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties, which allows for treaty abrogation if significant changes occur. India had already proposed modification to the treaty, but Pakistan refused to cooperate, focusing instead of creating obstacles and dragging India into arbitration repeatedly. Now, India plans to build large dams on the Kuram and Kabul rivers in collaboration with Afghanistan, utilizing the water for irrigation within Afghanistan. And once the Indus Water Treaty is nullified, Pakistan will face multiple fronts. Number one, they have to face the Baloch Liberation Army. And number two, they have to face the TTP, Tehrik-e-Taliban Pakistan. Number three, the Taliban, who is running the present Afghan government. Number four, unilateral Indian actions on the Indus Water Treaty. And number five, internal chaos due to its collapsing administration and military losses. So these are the five things that is enough to keep Pakistan occupied. Now remember, those who dreamed of two-front war will now have to deal with five-front war. I hope you found this video informative. I'll see you in the next one.